You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from Springfield, the capital of Illinois. Live in the Allstate Showcase Studio is Dr. Daphne Scott.
Hello.
And on the line is Representative Sarah Feigenholz. Hi, Rep. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well. What a strange and kind of wonderful day. How was your day?
Yeah, you just described it.
Strange and wonderful.
Is Daphne laughing at me?
It is.
I am. It is.
Not at you.
Not at you. With you.
I'm near me.
Near you.
Yes.
Hello, Representative Feigenholz.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. And yourself?
Peachy.
It's lovely to hear your voice.
It's good to hear you, too.
Thank you.
So, Patty, what do you think?
Yes.
I want to hear what you thought. You were watching the whole thing.
Well, this is the first time I ever had the pleasure of watching an inauguration and the swearing in of representatives. And I am so proud to be part of the state of Illinois. And I was really a little bit in awe of it. And, of course, I have some cynicism. I have my take on it. But, you know, when you rose to nominate Michael Madigan to be Speaker of the House again, which I believe it's his 17th term, I know what my thoughts are. And I know what people in the state of Illinois are thinking. Many people feel like, why? Why him again? And so I have to ask you that for so many people who want to know.
Well, I mean, you heard what I said. You know, that I think human nature shows us that people like to point fingers and blame somebody when something isn't working. And I think that there's not a, you know, I think we need to talk a little bit more about the history of what's been going on in this state over the years, and have a deeper knowledge of why things are the way they are, instead of just pointing fingers and playing the blame game. I mean, I think a lot of people talked today about cooperation, and you know, I think I've said on this show many times that Bruce Rauner is my third Republican governor that I've worked with. And I've never quite met anybody like him, because I feel as though he is having a very difficult time trying to collaborate. I think he is not accustomed to that kind of a work environment, because I have never seen these kinds of behaviors ever in the state of Illinois, especially when a state is in crisis. A governor is supposed to lead the four caucuses, okay?
Right.
The governor introduces solutions and budgets, and the caucuses collaborate off of that idea or those budgets. And that's not what is happening. So it's kind of a unique situation that we're in, where we have a governor who will continuously put other items on the table that have nothing to do with a budget. And so, and trying to convince him to do otherwise has, as you know, Patty, become very difficult. So, you know, it's hard. It was hard for us to talk about a lot of accomplishments. We could be optimistic with what happened this week with Leader Redonio and Senate President Cullerton. And all eyes are on collaboration.
Well, and people continue to say it's the Senate and the House of Representatives that controls the budget. And from my understanding is you have passed budgets, and the governor has the ability to do a line item veto if he doesn't agree with what that budget is, or to pass the budget.
Right. And as you know, we have passed many budgets to him, and he many that are just spending non-general revenue. We've done a lot of moving around of money in special funds and found surpluses in certain places and cobbled together a budget that doesn't involve any general revenue. After we listened to what he wanted, and we still didn't get any cooperation. So I think that, you know, I know that there's a lot of spin and a lot of blame being put on the speaker. Nobody is perfect. I'm not saying that the speaker is perfect. I am just saying what I said in my speech today, which is that he is the lightning rod. He takes the heat for the team.
Well, and you also said it's easy to accuse someone of being evil and to name call, and it's much harder to get down to policy, I think was the essence of what you were saying.
I just kind of, both of you know me, I just tell it like it is. Right? So I think that, you know, this is, Speaker Madigan is a guy who's been taking the heat, and obviously the governor and his compadres, his posse, has been helping him with a lot of noise. You saw a little bit of protesting outside, a little bit of drama. This is something new to Illinois. Getting the public ire doing what he's doing with the Illinois Policy Institute and a lot of movies and other forms of media depicting him as the Lex Luthor of Illinois politics. And frankly, it's not getting us anywhere. I wish that the governor's people would focus more on actually doing progressive things that are going to move the state forward, help people achieve economic independence, and be able to provide solid education for K-12 and higher education. You know, things that actually matter, things that bring jobs and business to the state of Illinois, and predictability.
So once again, State Representative Sarah Feigenholtz rose to nominate Michael Madigan as a Speaker of the House, and it is his 17th term, and he was elected to. Is it elected to or named? How do you say it? Appointed? What is the appropriate language?
He was elected Speaker.
Elected Speaker.
Elected is the proper
terminology.
Right.
So what people will say is that they voted for the representative and they feel like, well, I didn't vote for Speaker Madigan. What do you say to those folks who feel as though they're not being represented the way they had hoped?
Well, I spend a lot of time explaining things to my constituents. And to be perfectly honest with you, Patty, most of my constituents don't know that we passed 10 budgets to the governor and that he vetoed all of them. And so when you kind of lay out, you know, the facts and show them the facts, their positions are quite different when they understand what the reality is versus the perception, you know, of, right. You know, it's kind of forced fact-checking. But I do spend a great deal of time trying to explain this to people. And my constituents, I'm very fortunate, have a greater understanding. I mean, the fact is that much of what is important to our core values as Democrats, and especially the majority of people in my district, are like-minded and relate, are either independent or Democrat. Once they understand what Mike Madigan and his caucus and me are trying to protect that is so near and dear to us, they understand and they have a better understanding of what's going on.
And that's the key to all of this is listening. And if you want to contact Representative Sarah Feigenholtz, you can find her on Twitter at State Rep Sarah?
Yes. Rep? State
and
Rep Sarah.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. And
you could always
Daphne, I feel like you didn't get a chance to say anything to Sarah.
Daphne will take my calls.
I of course. I will take her calls.
Right? You should do a great job.
Thank you. Well, I always learn something when I listen to Representative Feigenholtz, and I've learned so much from her about the political process, and I'm always really blown away by her level of expertise and her level of tenacity. So it's always an honor, really, Sarah, to get to chat with you and listen to you. It really is. I mean, I think your point, just to really, you know, encapsulate what you were saying, you know, most people we're not as informed as we probably could be. We're not as informed as we probably should be. And I think the political climate in Illinois has been fantastic for that. I think the political climate in the United States has been great. I think people are starting, if nothing good, nothing else comes out of any of this, it's that people are starting to get more engaged and understand really the whole process and how this all works. And I think that's a benefit to everyone. So hopefully we'll stay on the track.
You know, I think we saw this in the presidential election.
Absolutely.
Where people, and there's been a lot of writing about it, you know, the New York Times, you know, a lot of people discussing, you know, the value of facts.
Yes.
Versus things that are just kind of invented, you know,
versus
or manufactured.
Yeah. I call it fact versus story, Sarah.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a lot of that going on. And if that's what our constituents need, then that's what they'll get, you know. Yeah. And I'm happy, and I know I stand ready to have these honest discussions about what's really going on, and also the very, very imperfect moments of my leader.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, having a conversation, you know, with Mike Madigan and saying, no, that's not what my constituents want. Here's what they want. Mm-hmm. He's a very good listener, and he may not agree, but he represents our caucus and their and the desires and needs of their communities and their constituencies. Mm-hmm. And we pass bills all the time to improve lives in everybody in all of the districts around the state of Illinois. This is a new sheriff in town, this Bruce Rauner human being. And I just saw a picture of him on Facebook. Patty was with him today. Did you know that, Daphne?
I was aware.
We did see the.
I'm still looking.
I'll take a selfie with you on the floor tomorrow. We have to run for a break. As State Rep Sarah Feigenholt, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Sarah.
Will
you? Always good to be on the show.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Springfield, the state capital of Illinois, in the Allstate Showcase studio back in Chicago in the Tribune Tower. This is Dr. Daphne Scott. Hi, Daphne. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Are you overwhelmed by all the politics? Do you think it's politics or government? I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, when we talk about the Speaker of the House, it's politics.
Yeah.
But there's so much important stuff going on in Springfield, and I was really impressed with a moment today before the vote was taken to elect the Speaker of the House, which everyone knew would be Michael Madigan once again. Mm-hmm. Representative Stephanie Kifowit, a retired Marine, stood up to voice her concerns and her thoughts. Representative Kifowit joins us. How are you doing tonight?
I'm here. How are you?
Very well. And again, as I was saying, it was a moment. I don't think did people know that you were going to rise to speak before the vote was taken?
No, it wasn't, you know, it was something that I just thought of that I wanted to do. And so it wasn't well publicized. It was just kind of from my heart. And I did prepare some remarks, but it was really, you know, not something that I thought to publicize. So.
And you wanted to address the House of Representatives specifically. What did you want to tell them before they took this vote on Speaker of the House?
Well, I think there's two main things. The one main thing is there's only one Democrat nominee. There's only one Republican nominee. So it's not rocket science to see who the Democrats voted for the Democratic nominee, the Republican voted for the Republican nominee. But I think at the end of the day, we are all representatives. We all have to work together. It should not rely solely on leadership. We are elected individuals, so we need to come together and end the budget impasse, demand transparent and openness in our deliberations, and really get back to serving the people. And that's, to me, I think that's the biggest defense and the biggest stand that we take. That's not about leadership. It's not who's just sitting in that chair. It's about the representatives holding their leaders accountable and the representatives coming together and working out a solution to the budget impasse, because it's been clear that four leaders and the governor sitting in a room has not done anything for 2 years.
And I think a lot of people do need to know that. And beyond that, though, I would ask about Governor Rauner's role and how that affects leadership on the Republican side of the aisle in the House of Representatives.
Well, I think Governor Rauner should start governing for the whole state of Illinois. He was elected by the whole state of Illinois. In the House of Representatives, we are all elected by districts, and we all represent our districts. He's the one component that is elected by the whole state. He should start governing the whole state and start making sure that we look after frail, elderly, disabled individuals, children, college students, veterans, my fellow veterans. And all these individuals are suffering through this budget impasse, which was caused by his veto of the 2015 budget. So he needs to start engaging in open dialogue, open transparencies, not backroom deals, secret committee meetings, or private working groups. We have to start negotiating and talking about these things in the public to get a solution that's a true compromise and true cooperation and collaboration.
You know, it's interesting because before we let you go, and I, as I mentioned, I apologize that we have to make this short, but Dr. Daphne Scott often talks about making requests. And Dr. Daphne Scott, she did that. She rose and she said, this is what I want from you.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because nobody else did that. And, yeah, and I've never seen anyone else do.
We forget.
No, but I do want to clarify, though. I did not retire from the Marines. I was just in for 4 years active duty.
Oh, what is the difference? Before I let you go, then I'll ask you that question. I wasn't sure.
I was in for 4 years.
Okay, because I didn't want, because I know that you're not supposed to say like former Marine, because once a Marine, always a Marine. So
correct.
You left them. So how do I say it?
I'm just ex-Marine, a Marine, honey. I'm
oh, you're a Marine. I'm sorry, Marine. No longer. Wait. I don't know how to say it then. So Marine representative.
I'm a Marine veteran.
Title.
You can say Marine veteran. So I'm a Marine veteran.
Thank you.
But so I didn't retire.
I continue to learn.
I serve over 20 years. Yeah.
Okay. No, so if you serve more than 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah. But the rank and file, we rank and file need to come together and get solutions because the leadership has failed for 2 years.
Well, as we continue down this road and we now are entering the 100th General Assembly in the state of Illinois, you know, WGN will continue to be in the press box and have these conversations. And I always appreciate you joining the show. Thank you so much.
Oh, anytime. You can call anytime.
You know, well you know, during the show.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. 2017. We're here. We're ready to rock
Let's
and roll.
Thank goodness.
Something. Thank you so much, Representative. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from Springfield, Illinois, the capital of our state. And in studio, we have Dr. Daphne Scott, our positivity expert, and just really one of our favorite guests on the show.
Oh, Patty.
Oh, please. You know who I would love to have you meet in person? I know you know Representative Sarah Feigenholtz.
Yes.
Representative Stephanie Kifowitz is great, but Leader Lou Lang is such a great friend of the show and joins us on the air. Hi, Leader Lou. How are you doing tonight? Hello?
Patty, how was your night?
Oh, my. Okay, you guys are not messing around. I am so sorry that I got to your event so late at one of my favorite restaurants over at Arlington's. But there were so much to consume. There was so much to process after the inauguration. I mean, what kind of day did you have?
Well, so we got to the university for the inaugural a couple hours beforehand. Certainly a lot of schmoozing, but a lot of talking about what the next session might look like. And then, of course, the inaugural. And then after, a lot of people dispersed to various places. There were several receptions. As you know, I had one. A good crowd turned out. It wasn't just a schmooze fest. There was a lot of talk about how the day went and how the next session will go and budget issues and many other substantive issues about state of Illinois.
And once again, Michael Madigan has been elected the Speaker of the House. And there are people all across the state who, you know, have a lot of things to say about that. And I mean, we had Representative Martwick on last night and other colleagues of yours who have stated the case. And you, of all the people we've worked with, have talked to, have worked with him the longest. What do you want to tell the people of Illinois about Speaker Madigan?
I think people have fallen prey to a false narrative about who Michael Madigan is. They read the papers, they listen to the bashing coming from the governor and from other sources. But the fact is that we have a constitution that sets up a executive branch and a legislative branch, and this Constitution requires that these branches be co-equal. The most important thing about Mike Madigan is he protects the role of the legislature under the Constitution. And that's a very important role, so that the executive branch of government doesn't run amok, as this governor has often tried to do. And I want to say this as well. For those who think, for whatever reason, because they believe what they read, that somehow it's Michael Madigan stopping the budget process, let me just say this. He's been here about 40 years, and in those 40 years, we've had 38 budgets with Republican governors and with Democratic governors. Bruce Rauner has been here 2 years, and he's had no budgets. So people can figure out without me doing the math what's new in this equation, and it isn't Michael Madigan.
Hmm. Well, and people would say, yes, he's been there for 40 years, and that's the problem. We need change. And one of the things I'm concerned about is that, but right now, perhaps that might have been the case at some other point in time in those 40 years. But as you mentioned, we have a governor who wants to take away so many things that Democrats value, which are workers' rights. And I think this right now, this is the guy. Yes.
I'm sorry, Patty. The governor has set up this thought process that people have that somehow his political agenda is on a par with doing the budget of the state of Illinois. The Constitution requires that we do a budget. The Constitution requires that the governor take us to the goal line, whether he's happy with Mike Madigan and the Democratic Party or he isn't. He was elected to finish this job. He was elected to sit at the table and negotiate a budget. Democrats have been at the table. The governor doesn't want to discuss the budget. Why? Because he doesn't want to wear the political jacket for a tax increase. He doesn't want to wear the political jacket for cutting important programs in the state of Illinois, even though he and we know that the only way to finish this would be to have a combination, a balanced combination of both new revenue and cuts. We're prepared to do that. In fact, the last budget that we passed that the governor vetoed in May of 2015 had $1 billion in cuts in the budget. He never wants to acknowledge that. So when the speaker and Democrats try to sit at the table to discuss the budget, the first and only thing the governor wants to discuss is his political agenda. He wants to throw organized labor under the bus. He wants to change all kinds of things in workers' compensation without any regard to the notion that when people are injured on the job, when they fall off the 51st floor of a skyscraper and land on their head and they're quadriplegic for life, there really ought to be some compensation for that. And so you could reduce workers' compensation benefits to zero if you just do away with workers' compensation. It's easy to lower the benefits. What isn't easy is to make changes that should lower rates. And in this case, rates only went down 10% when they should have gone down 25% when we passed reform a few years ago, because the insurance companies, for the most part, are hoarding the money and not returning the savings to the businesses of Illinois.
Dr. Daphne, you've worked in physical therapy and gone through some of this, and this is something that the Democrats have brought up this week, is how much money the insurance companies, they did do workman's comp reform several years ago, and the difference that they're finding is that as Leader Lou just mentioned, the savings should be there, but the insurance companies are pocketing the difference. Is that something you're familiar with, or I don't know if
absolutely
you can comment on?
Absolutely. It gets a little complicated, but there's the way that insurance companies actually can keep costs, and they pass the costs a lot on to the providers, and there's actually this whole theory, I'm sure Representative Liu is familiar with this, but it's called the black line, and it really shows that they put in these middlemen to sort of try to regulate how many, for example, in physical therapy, how many visits a person's getting. And what happens is, to have a middleman trying to regulate these types of things in between the insurance company and the providers and the individual receiving the care, costs actually go up. The way that they make it look like the costs have gone down is by actually passing those costs back to the providers. And so when they've actually looked, especially at workers' compensation and putting these sort of regulatory people in these insurance industries, it actually has driven the costs up in workers' right. compensation. So it doesn't surprise me at all. And that's a pretty common piece of data that's out there.
So this is something, again, Leader Lou, I think one, before we let you go, I think that there's something that you said that was important for people to hear, which is that the House of Representatives and the Senate have passed budgets. Is that correct?
Well, we passed a full budget in May of 2015, and if the governor really wanted a budget instead of vetoing it, he could have used the power he has under the Constitution to amendatorily veto it. The governor has the power in Illinois to change any line item downward in a budget. And instead of doing that, he threw the state of Illinois into chaos for his own personal political reasons. And here we are. It's 2 years, no budget. And people with autism and people with mental illness and people who are homeless and people who need childcare and people who need MAP grants to go to college and our state universities all crumbling before our very eyes.
And there you have it. So if people want to know, you know, again, and I've repeated this so many times, if there's something that's important to you, call your legislators, call your representatives, call your senators, your state senators. I know people are like, oh, I think it's Quigley, I think it's Durbin, I think it's Duckworth. Those are not your state representatives. The people who have the biggest impact on your lives directly are your local representatives and the governor of Illinois. Let them know what's important to you. Contact the governor's office. Let them know that this cannot be how 2017 ends without a budget. Leader Lou, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
We'll be around, and thanks for having me with you, Patty. Have a great night.
You as well. I'll talk to you soon. Of course, we'll have you back. I can't wait. You're on fire tonight. He's not playing, Daphne. Look
no,
out.
I mean, the information is just so helpful. You know, I just think
it
people
is.
Don't really understand the process, and they don't understand what these representatives on both sides. And you know, we try to continue to split this into a Republican-Democratic situation. And until you start really understanding that actually they are putting budgets together, and there's one guy who keeps vetoing everything.
There's that guy with the thing.
By the way,
people on both sides of the aisle passed budgets. All right. There's somebody else who has a lot of information.
Yes.
His name's Rob, and he's waiting for me. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago.